This week, a man in New York City was captured on video in what can only be described as a hate-filled, racist tirade. And the video has been posted and viewed by millions of people in a few days. The story is that this man was in a deli in Manhattan to buy lunch. Now, a regular customer of this deli is a woman named Emily Serrano, and because she frequents the deli, she's gotten to know one of the employees. And when she goes in, they'll converse, sometimes in English, sometimes in Spanish. And Emily was in line at noon on Tuesday of this week, and the customer in front of her placed their order in Spanish, and Emily did the same with her friend. And this appeared to agitate the customer behind her, who exploded into a verbal tirade against the workers. So Emily took out her phone and started filming. And after yelling at the workers for not speaking English, then the man starts yelling at the manager saying, "Every person I listen to, he spoke it, she's speaking it." And he says, "This is America. If you intend to be running a place in Midtown Manhattan, your staff better be speaking to customers in English." The man then threatened to contact immigration officials because he guessed that these people were undocumented. He then turned to Ms. Serrano, who was filming, and made a personal remark about her weight, and he left. The video was posted, and the man was quickly identified as Aaron Schlossberg, age 44, an attorney in Manhattan whose office is just a few doors down from this restaurant. Ironically, on his business website, Mr. Schlossberg states that he is fluent in Spanish. Contrary to popular belief, English is not the official language of the United States. The U.S. does not have an official language. Now, 32 states do designate English as their language for official matters to one degree or another. For example, up in Kentucky, agricultural labels are required to be written in English. And mostly, it's a practical matter in these states. In Massachusetts, if you are a licensed acupuncturist, then your license must be completed in English. And I imagine this came about because members of the acupuncturist union requested to fill out their licenses in probably Chinese, and the poor clerks at the county licensing offices said, "No, we can't deal with that." Hawaii recognizes English and Hawaiian. Alaska recognizes English plus a number of indigenous languages. Now, there is a huge difference between English official legislation and English only legislation. There are no laws on the books that require that English is to be the only language of the land. And this is good because there are close to 400 separate languages that are spoken in this country. Around the world, it's estimated that there are 6,500 living languages. And half of these languages are endangered and expected to be extinct by the end of this century. In southern Mexico, in the state of Tabasco, there is a language known as Ayapaneco. It is an ancient, indigenous language that predates the Spanish conquest. There are only two people left who are able to converse fluently in this language. And they're not on speaking terms. Now, it was wrong, clearly wrong of Mr. Schlossberg to shout at the workers in a deli for speaking Spanish. If someone is not happy with the laws of the land, there are acceptable ways to affect legislative change. But this is not one of them. Our scripture reading for today is the story of Pentecost. And this event is considered to be the birth of the church. The book of Acts picks up with the resurrection of Jesus. And following his resurrection then, Jesus spends time with his disciples, teaching them more about the kingdom of God. And then, before he ascends into heaven, he instructs his followers to wait together in Jerusalem. And so they do. Pentecost did not originate with the Christian church. It is an ancient Jewish festival that commemorates the giving of the law from God to the people. And it is celebrated 50 days after Passover. That's where we get the name, Pente, 50, Pentecost. It's celebrated 50 days after Passover to correspond with the tradition that Moses received the Ten Commandments 50 days after the Exodus. So, on the day of this festival of Pentecost, the followers of Jesus are gathered together in the upstairs rented room, waiting as Jesus had instructed them. And while they are there, something happens. It's kind of hard to explain. First of all, there is a loud, chaotic noise, kind of like an airplane flying really low over your house. At the very same time that a freight train's going down the track, at the very same time that both of your neighbors are mowing their lawns. The scripture describes it a different way, saying it's like the rush of a violent wind. And this noise fills the house where the disciples are gathered. And then, in addition to the noise, these objects appear in the room among the people. They look like flames of fire, and they're moving around, and they rest on each person in the room. What these people see and what they hear in that room that day are the outward manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Each person in the room is filled with the Holy Spirit. As John the Baptist said about Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This Pentecost day is their baptism. And one immediate result that we see with their being filled with the Holy Spirit is that each one in that room is given the ability to speak in a new language. Because it is Pentecost, which at the time was a major Jewish festival, Jews from all over have convened on Jerusalem to worship and to celebrate. They have traveled from different lands where they speak different languages. And the turbulent sound emanating from the house that morning where the disciples are gathered, it attracts a lot of attention. And a crowd congregates around the house. They are curious, what's creating this racket here? As the disciples in the house pour out into the street, the crowd's a bit confused. And they are astonished because they are able to understand the words that these disciples are speaking, but in their own native languages. In amaze, they go, "Aren't these Galileans? How is it that we can understand them?" And then we, the reader, are provided with this long list of peoples and nations supposedly representing each group or individual in the crowd. And the people understand that the disciples, they're talking about God. They're talking about God's deeds of power. Now, some in the crowd denounce what the disciples are saying and claim that they're not speaking in any real language, but simply babbling and jabbering after drinking too much cheap wine all night. But Peter steps forward. takes control of the situation. He addresses the crowd saying that the disciples are not drunk, because for one thing, it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. And then Peter places the recent events into context by quoting from the book of Joel, where Joel foretells that day when God will pour out God's Spirit on all people. On that day, there will be prophesying and dreams and visions. And when that day comes, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter then goes on to preach the story of Jesus and how Jesus is part of God's great plan for the salvation of all. The crowd responds to Peter asking him, "What do we do now?" And Peter tells them, "Repent. Repent and be baptized, because every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And we are told that on that day, 3,000 people were baptized. And the community of believers, of Christians in Jerusalem, it grows, and the people share their belongings and they give to those who are in need, and they worship together and they eat together and they give praise to God together, and the church is born. The Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit moves through us. The Holy Spirit connects us to each other and to God. The Holy Spirit inspires us and pushes us. It guides us and directs us in the ways of God. The Holy Spirit is God with us. So, it is interesting to see in this Pentecost story how the very first thing that the followers of Jesus do when filled with the Spirit is to speak in other languages, other tongues. And maybe that is what the occasion demanded that day, the ability to witness to all those people from foreign lands, to share with them the story of Jesus and the power of God, to offer them the way of salvation. And this, turns out, is the reverse of the story of Babel. At Babel, you'll recall, God scattered the people by giving them different languages. And at Pentecost, God uses language to bring them all together. As Christians today, when do we need the ability to speak to others in their native language? Well, the obvious answer is when we reach out to those who are strangers in our land, to the refugees and the immigrants, to assist them in their journey through our land. And we are able to demonstrate God's love if we can speak kind words that they will understand. Following that incident in the deli in New York, a reporter spoke to one of the employees who was present. And that man's name is Oscar Villanueva, and he is Honduran. He told the reporter that Schlossberg called the workers names. Villanueva said, "He heard us speak Spanish, and he started yelling, and then names that I can't say here. He said, 'We have to speak English.' He started saying a lot of ugly words. We felt really bad, humiliated." Now, the Bible is not silent on this point. The book of Exodus is very clear when it says, "You shall not wrong or oppress a resident alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt." Being able to share the good news of God's love with those from other lands is not the only way that we can utilize the language of the Holy Spirit. There are also those who are lost in their own personal wilderness. There are those who are lost in the land of addictions or illness or poverty or oppression. Does God desire that we go to the addict and scream at them and humiliate them? Or has the Holy Spirit armed us with the dream and the vision to speak a different language? Does the Holy Spirit give us a language of prophecy so that we may speak to those who are mired in poverty or illness or despair? My question to you this day is this: are we speaking this language? The birth of the church is the beginning of a new way of living, a new way of speaking. So let us now go out from this room into the streets and share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone in their own native language. Amen.